As long as we're talking about unusual alterations, another one that we're starting to hear about are NTRK abnormalities. And again, I see you have a 48-year-old man who was treated on a clinical trial. What happened with this patient?
So this was a young gentleman, never smoker, who's diagnosed, you know, now several years ago. And at the time, the only molecular testing that was done at an outside institution was ALK, ROS, RET, and EGFR. And the patient was wild type, but had some of the clinical characteristics where it makes you suspect that there is some oncogenic driver there. But in the absence of finding one, the patient was treated with standard therapy. He received platinum pemetrexed first, went on to a clinical trial of a PD-1 inhibitor, didn't respond, and then received several rounds of single-agent chemotherapy and unfortunately progressed. It was after he progressed on his fourth-line therapy that he sought out consultation at our institution. And, you know, by that point, our NGS panel had expanded. We knew about NTRK rearrangements, and this patient was found to have an NTRK1 rearrangement. Here, I think it makes sense to talk a little bit about the nomenclature of NTRK. So the genes are NTRK1, 2, and 3. The corresponding proteins are TRK A, B, and C. So when we talk about TRK inhibitors, obviously we're inhibiting the protein. So this patient was found to have an NTRK rearrangement. This is a rare genetic alteration. So when we talk about EGFR, we know 10 to 15% of patients in the Western populations will have EGFR. We talked about ALK, that's more like 3 to 5%. We talked about RET, which is like 1 to 2%. So Anna Farrago in our group, who has a particular interest in NTRK rearrangements, recently did an analysis looking at close to 5,000 patients who had comprehensive molecular profiling. And the frequency of NTRK rearrangements was 0.23%. So it's a rare alteration, but it's an alteration that really matters to find it.